Firstly, in John's Gospel, chapter 16. John 16 and verse 32. Behold, the hour is coming and has come that ye shall be scattered, each to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have overcome the world. Revelation, chapter 2 of the Revelation, verse 1. To the angel of the assembly in Ephesus write, these things says he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lamps. Verse 7. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes will I give to him to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. And to the angel of the assembly in Smyrna write, these things says the first and the last, who became dead and lived. Verse 11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. He that overcomes shall in no wise be injured of the second death. To the angel of the assembly in Pergamos write, these things says he that has the sharp two-edged sword. Verse 17. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna, and I will give to him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows but he that receives it. To the angel of the assembly in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, he that has his eyes as a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Verse 26. And he that overcomes, and he that keeps unto the end my works, to him will I give authority over the nations, and he shall shepherd them with an iron rod. As vessels of pottery are they broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give to him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. To the angel of the assembly in Sardis write, these things saith he that has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Verse 5. He that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot his name out of the book of life. And I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. And to the angel of the assembly in Philadelphia write, these things saith the holy, the true. He that has the key of David, he who opens and no one shall shut, and shuts and no one shall open. Verse 12. He that overcomes, him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more at all out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. And to the angel of the assembly in Laodicea write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 21. He that overcomes, to him will I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. It doesn't need much imagination, dear brethren, to realize that I want to speak about overcomers. And not only about overcomers, I would like to speak to overcomers. And I would like to be an overcomer myself, to encourage one another to be overcomers. Again, you have to come back to the Lord. Very interesting in John's Gospel, chapter 16. Pause and consider. Where was the Lord in John 16? What was immediately before him? Doesn't that sober us? Chapters 13 right through to 17 are in the hours just before the Lord went to the cross. Whatever his words should be precious to us, they surely always should be, but surely his words at this time of extreme testing should be extremely comforting to us. Is there any sense of defeat? Is there any sense of despondency? I don't discern it. I see a blessed man, truly man, glorious person. I see him amongst his own, thinking of his father, thinking of the work that was before him, but thinking for his own too, and speaking to them. He's unchanged, dear brethren. As to his condition, no longer here in flesh and blood, but as to his attitude, as to his affections, unchanged. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and the ages to come. The ark, as you know, its dimensions, very small, always the same. It wasn't Noah's ark, that was large. What a large sphere of salvation there is for us. But the ark, very precious, very small. And yet mystery, isn't there? A half cubit. So here he is, blessed man amongst men. Not exactly amongst men, generally, at this point, but amongst his own, those who'd been with him, those who would miss him. But he'd already told them that there was going to be another comforter. J&D's footnote, very interesting. What the Lord had been to them in his pathway, Spirit would be to them in the absence of Christ on high and his own left here in testimony. So he speaks feelingly towards them. The hour is coming and has come that ye shall be scattered, each to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. Could we get some sense, dear brethren, of the preciousness of the Father to Christ, but the preciousness too of Christ to the Father? Father entering feelingly into all that, that Blessed One was about to enter into and to accomplish. And yet he looks around upon his followers, his lovers. These things have I spoken to you, that in me ye might have peace. What need there is for peace in Christ? Not speaking about the peace of Christ, speaking about peace in Christ, and peace in God, peace with God, but peace in God too. This world, as we know, is a wilderness wide, it's a barren place, it's a place where Jesus has died, it's a place where his rights are not given to him. It's the place too where soon he's coming in to take up those rights. He's going to change this poor earth. It wasn't a poor earth as created of God. It's a poor earth because of what man has done. Man has left God out of his reckonings. The true Joseph has been left out of the reckonings of men. But soon he's going to take up his rights. In the world ye have tribulation. Do you kick against it? Do I kick against it? Tribulation is one of the refining instruments in the divine hand to bring out the work of God. You know that, do you? The root of the word tribulation is tribulum, which is a flail in the Latin. Not that I'm a scholar, but that's the sense of it. It's a gentle way of bringing out what is truly precious. Stuart spoke this afternoon that scripture in John. Except the grain of wheat falling into the ground die. It abideth alone, but it brings forth much fruit if it dies. Geoffrey here, he referred to his cross, my cross. It's the tribulation to bring out what is so precious to Christ, because it's of Christ. Brings forth much fruit. We're the fruit of his death, dear brethren. What about his work being furthered through the acceptance of tribulation? Come to Romans and it works certain things, doesn't it? It's part of the divine plan to bring out features of Christ. What features shone out in the blessed Lord when he was here? Could you give me a list of them? You couldn't exhaust it. Every feature precious to thee. Coming out, every feature precious to God, coming out in that blessed one. All thou hast e'er desired from man we see in him, that blessed one. One who's been crowned with glory and honour, given that place of preeminence. He says here, be of good courage. Be of good courage, dear brethren. Be of good courage. That's a Joshua word, isn't it? Going into the land, be of good courage. Fear not. That was dear Sam Gore when he was with us, you know, in Cardiff. Fear not. think Mr. Wallach said there's a fear not 365 in Scripture. I don't know, never checked him up on that one. 365 fear nots. One for every day of the week. Step out Monday morning, fear not. Christ has overcome the world. I've overcome the world. So I thought about these overcomers. Mr. Burton Bryan here, he spoke about overcomers this afternoon and referred to Ephesus. I thought he was going to take my address from me. But I'm not going to speak only about Ephesus. If you read Mr. Coates, as I hope you do, and others, he makes a point that to the overcomer there's an answer to the way the Lord presents himself to each assembly. Now, I'm not able to exhaust that, but it's a very interesting comment. Scripture is written with purpose and with point. As you remember, the Psalms often start off first verse or two, and you might get a downward dip because of pressure. Then the answers of the opening verses of the Psalms are in the end of the Psalm. It brings out the experiences that we get. They were spiritual men written. They were men of like passions as ourselves. Spirit took them up. You get these Psalms developing in persons. Might say almost cast down, our way not entirely shut up. But the end of the Psalm, something rises in outgoings of heart and praise. So there's an overcomer in every assembly. Now you look round your own local company. Are you the overcomer? It's no use saying, well, we've got Mr. So-and-so, he'll see us through. Are you an overcomer? Am I an overcomer? Well, there's the overcomer. We need to overcome the world. That's been done by Jesus. And so don't let us try and build up the world. The world's coming down, it's under judgment. But there's another world which we're soon going to enter into, which is because Jesus has borne the judgment. It's brought to pass, dear brethren, that we can enter into it. We can enter into it now in the power of the Blessed Spirit. We're left here in testimony. And these seven assemblies are typical of the whole course of the testimony. Ephesus, seven stars in his right hand, walks in the midst of the seven golden lamps. Suppose he comes round with power in his hand. He comes round just to look at matters. Say he entered into your reading meeting, or maybe your care meeting. What would he have to say? You're seeking the things which are pleasurable to him? You're seeking to promote what is spiritual? Or alas, is it bickerings and feelings and that sort of thing? Well, that's not first love, is it? First love is that genuine affection for Christ. You may say, well, things don't happen like that where I am. Well, I'm glad they don't. Things do happen in certain places, dear brethren. We need to be practical. We say the Lord is with us. Well, then we have to come under his scrutiny, don't we? So, to Ephesus he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Not past tense, not said, says. Has the Spirit stopped speaking? You can't silence the Spirit, you may quench him. You may grieve him, but you can't silence the Spirit. The Lord says in John, doesn't he, his blessed service, how faithful he's been. You can't stop the Spirit speaking. You can turn a deaf ear to it. Don't do that. Don't put your head in the sand and refuse to listen to what the Spirit says. The Spirit will always bring you something of Christ. The Spirit will always challenge you, maybe. Wilt thou go with this man? What a challenge that was. I will go. And he prepared to go through. To him that overcomes, I will give to him to eat of the tree of life which is in the paradise of God. What a blessed promise. Tree of life in the paradise of God. Promise to the overcomer. Dear brethren, he's got promises for us at the present time. Tree of life in the paradise of God. Where is that? That's ahead, isn't it? But you can eat of it at the present time. Buried fruits of richest flavour offer still the tree divine. Spirit delights to bring the glories of Christ to us, quicken our affections towards him. Bring us back, maybe, to an element of first love, faithfulness to Christ. Smyrna, tribulation. Remember Mr. Gardner saying that every phase of the church's history, there will be some element of Smyrna in every part of the world. You may look over in Russia. I think you need to look closer in Catholic countries. Italy, Spain, France, South America, Rome, you know, tribulation. Maybe not persecution, but the general feeling of opposition to the glories of Christ and for the liberty of the Spirit. Rome, Smyrna, 10 days. 10 days. It's held in check. You know, the first and the last who became dead and lived. What a blessed feature of Christ. The first and the last. How this brings it out in this book, doesn't it? Alpha and the Omega. First and the last. Beginning and the end. Everything being set on by the Lord Jesus. In him is the yea, and in him the amen, for glory to God by us. What a man is the Lord Jesus Christ. Never ceased to be God by reason of what he became. Always a man. Truly a man. A unique, outstanding man. First and the last. Became dead and lived. And he's living now, dear brethren. Living to the ages of ages. Everything is under control. So they can't make it 11 days if he says 10 days. What a comfort that is. Everything is held in check. In God's world. You can't say everything's held in check in man's world, can you? Decline, decline, decline. Look back over 40 years. Look back over 50, 60 years. Things are going down. Why? Because they rejected the Prince of Peace. They chose a murderer. They chose one who was an insurrection leader. You can understand, therefore, that the world is reaping what it chose. You choose Christ, you come into a light of a blessed man, and the centre of glory, centre of control, centre of rule, blessed man that he is. I will give to him, faithful unto death, I will give to thee the crown of life. Give to thee. An overcomer is a person. The angel of the assemblies is representative. But the overcomer is a person. So there's a great challenge, isn't there, to each one of us to be overcomers. Get the crown of life. Angel of Pergamos. Shall no wise be injured of the second death either. Angel of Pergamos, sharp two-edged sword. It's like the word of God coming in and dividing, isn't it? Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Lord comes in and he discerns just where we are. Think of him coming into a state like this, having to say what things were being said. Doctrines which were not right. Throne of Satan. Where Satan dwells. You may say it's an assembly. Where Satan dwells. Hold them the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a snare before the sons of Israel. The Lord is very discerning, isn't he? You know, very discerning. Repent, therefore. That's a word, isn't it? Repent. Never stop it. Don't stop repenting. Come into Luke 15, repenting sinners. To him that overcomes, to him will I give of the hidden manna. Beautiful. The hidden manna. Think of what was exposed by the Lord in Pergamos. The Lord says hidden manna. All that shone in Christ once humbled. Hidden manna. Treasured in heaven. There it is in the ark, isn't it? Going through a hidden manna. I've got a feeling, dear brethren, you know, that there are going to be fresh disclosures in the coming day. We haven't had everything yet. I think there are going to be fresh disclosures when we get above. There's a little hymn that says, well, it's in the little hymn, it's about 7 verses, and to know the blessed secret of his preciousness to thee. I'd like to get touches like that about the Lord Jesus. He's inexhaustible, blessed man. The hidden manna. How heaven hath a father treasured every step of that wonderful pathway in the hidden manna. There it was, day by day, provided freshly, children of Israel to go out. There was the manna in the public, you might say, but there was the hidden manna. Scripture, I rather fancy, well, I wouldn't be dogmatic, but I think the hidden manna might refer to those 30 years of private and secret life. So little is said in the scriptures about it. I think the hidden manna might well bring out features of that wonderful pathway, the hidden pathway. He didn't go on into public service till he was 30. Just 3.5 years. How compressed. You think of our 30 years, our first 30 years. Now, it's a time when we all get astray. It'll be a time when we're strong in our own will, in our own desires. The most of us, anyhow. I wouldn't be too dogmatic about everybody, but it's where the flesh is there. You get the world in all its glamour, so-called, and opportunities of advancement, and it brings out the very worst of the flesh in us. But with a hidden manner in that blessed one, I do always those things which please the Father. The witness to it is, the Spirit came down upon him. In thee I have found my delight. Heaven's word. People say, send me your CV. The Lord's CV was there, wasn't it? In thee I have found my delight. 30 years. Every step, each footstep gave him fresh delight. What Christ was to the Father. He had yielded him up in death. Had to forsake him too, forsaken of his God. Why? That we might be brought into blessing. It says here, I will give to him a white stone. Purity. Doctrine of the Nicolaitans, fornication, sacrifice, idol sacrifices. The overcomer will get purity. And on the stone a new name written, which no one knows but he that receives it. You're going to get that? You're going to get that? Name on a white stone, which no one knows but he that receives it. It's a good thing to look for, isn't it? That'd be a reward, wouldn't it? I think it'll bring out, dear brethren, how the Lord feels about each one of us and how he's appreciated our commitment to his interests and our fidelity to his name in the little time that comes, little time that remains to us. A name means the renown of a man. I'm not boasting. Says many names in the upper room, 120 many names in the upper room. Men in their distinctiveness, fruit of the Lord's work, about to receive the blessed Spirit, coming therefore into testimony, shining in the midst of a corrupt and perverted generation. Going to get a new name. No one knows it but he that receives it. Thyatira. His eyes as a flame of fire, his feet are fine brass, like fine brass. Him that overcomes, he that keeps unto the end my works, to him will I give authority over the nations. He shall shepherd them with an iron rod. Vessels of pottery are they broken in pieces, as I also have received from my Father, and I will give to him the morning star. That's a note of triumph, isn't it? It's a good promise. Overcomer. Overcoming in thy name, from earthliness be free. That could be a daily prayer, couldn't it? That we might be more occupied with the things of Christ. And prepared to suffer with him, because we're going to reign with him. If we suffered, we shall reign. Let us not therefore avoid the little bit of suffering that comes our way. Suffering for his name. Suffering for the testimony. Suffering to be faithful to the Lord. And he'll give us the morning star. Give him the morning star. Ah, what it is to know that that blessed man soon is coming into his own rights. The place that heaven has already given him. He's going to take it up publicly. Father loves the Son, has given all things to be in his hand. I'm not worried about the green aspect. I don't get hot and cold about what's going to happen, you know, to this. It's all in the divine hand. I don't get worked up about these things. Even when he's on the cross, everything was still in his hand. Wasn't withdrawn, the power. Upholding all things by the word of his power. The media make much of all these things, you know. Man's frailty, man's thoughts. Come back to Scripture. Blessed. Things out of control up there? No. You can look up any night, can't you? Beautiful. There he is, the sun in the daytime. And there's the moon at night and the stars. It says in Genesis 1. And there was the covenant with the rainbow, wasn't there? After the Noah's flood, the flood in Noah's time. It's all there. And changed. You can tell what the tide's going to be next year, when the sun's going to rise, when it's going to set. Any breakdown up there? Not at all. Will there be? Not at all. God has everything in control, dear brethren. He's got everything in control too. Maybe he had more control in us, each one, and in all our local companies. Sardis, seven spirits of God and the seven stars. He that overcomes, he shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot his name out of the book of life, and will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. It's not confession then of men in the world, not a confession before men. Have to render your testimony, confessing with the mouth, believing in the heart and confessing with the mouth. This is a privileged setting, isn't it? I'll confess him before my Father. Faithfulness to Christ down here. Confession before the Father, the day to come, and before his angels. Well, dear sisters, you have a covering when you pray? Of course you do. 1 Corinthians 11, isn't it? You wear a sign of the authority? You can therefore see that when the Lord confesses your name before his angels, the angels will say, well, yes, they were in keeping with that when they were down here in testimony. And that's part of the confession. Let us therefore be in accord with what the scriptures say, dear brethren, and walk suitably and humbly, owning we're under the authority of the man in the glory. Angel of Assembly in Philadelphia. Well, you'd need 3-day meetings for that, wouldn't you? Even in Taunton. 3-day meetings. Yeah. These things, says the holy, the true. These are the key of David. He who opens and no one shall shut. Shuts and no one shall open. Blessed is everything under control. Opening and shutting and shutting and opening. Key of David. You might say, well, there's no need to be an overcomer in Philadelphia. Yes, there is. And there's a promise too. Very precious promise. Him will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Think of those two pillars in temple in Solomon's day. They were distinctive, weren't they? You may say, well, that was unique. Well, you can be unique too. I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God. Says in, doesn't it, in the Acts, many lights in the upper room. Then it speaks of those who are distinctive. He had a touch us to manhood this afternoon. Distinctive in God's realm. Why? Because of the work of Christ and the work of the Spirit. Not according to flesh, and not according to social standing, not according to how much I've got in the bank or how little I've got in the bank. Man of God, man greatly beloved. Pillar in the temple of my God. Should go no more at all out. Home. Home, dear brethren. Home. Go no more at all out. And who'll be there when you get home? There Christ, the centre of the throng, shall in his glory shine. And we'll gladly bring our crowns and cast them at his blessed feet. And thank him for all that he's done for us. And praise him for all that he's brought us into. I will write upon him the name of my God. And the name of the city of my God. The new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God. And my new name. I think he set his mind on things which are above. And these are things which are coming down from God. Think of the city that's going to come down. Having the glory of God. These aren't cunningly devised fables. These are the facts of Scripture, dear brethren. Why? Written not for the people who lived 2,000 years ago. Written for us. It's what the Scriptures are for. And I believe that the ministry we've enjoyed over the past years, apart from the 60s, and then even in that, there were those who held fast to what was right. The ministry that we've come have magnified Christ, magnified the Spirit, magnified the Father, magnified the saints too. One pearl, the saints, the pearl, the bride of Christ. And I am sure the Spirit is still speaking at the present time to bring the glory of Christ before us and to bring us to into greater committal in the spirit of overcoming to the divine interests. My God, my God, my God. Those references there are very beautiful, aren't they? Aren't they? John 20. I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. What blessed liberty we are brought into, dear brethren. The angel of the assembly in Laodicea. A very distinctive title here, isn't it? Faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I wonder what you know about that. The beginning of the creation of God. He was the creator, but he's the beginning of the creation of God. Everything that's pleasurable to God takes character from him. The beginning of the creation of God. I think J.T., one reference made, seemed to remember it, that when the Lord breathed into his disciples in John 20, it wasn't the giving of the Spirit of Pentecost, it was imparting to him, to them, those features that they might have part in that, the beginning of the creation of God. What he was here, as a blessed man, for the pleasure of God. The power of that was imparted to them to be here in testimony so that they might rightly reflect God. The beginning of the creation of God. It's to garner's hymn, doesn't it, says, and though thou, that now thou art there at the beginning of all that shall be for God's rest. The beginning of the creation of God. what they needed in Laodicea. And you know very well that Philadelphia and Laodicea go along together. Oh, to be more wholehearted for Christ. Spoke about those two going to Emmaus. Did not hearts burn within us? Oh, let there be more burning zeal for Christ. Not rich and increased with goods or hot or cold. The Lord is going to spew that out of his mouth. But he says here, I also have overcome. I will give to him what I give to sit with me in my throne, as I also have overcome and have sat down with my Father in his throne. It's the only reference that the Lord gives in these seven addresses to himself as being an overcomer. Wouldn't you like to be like the great overcomer? Take character from him. I have sat down with my Father in his throne. He's not yet on his own throne, beloved, you know that, don't you? He's in his Father's throne. He's there in restfulness and complacency. He's completed everything for God. He's got a place for us, place assured. In his Father's house, many abodes. Blessed truth, John 14, isn't it? You know, that's the beginning, isn't it? John 13, 14, and then through to 17. He sets on, gives the pattern. May our hearts be more attached to himself. May there be with every one of us. And I appeal to us all individually, the spirit of the overcomer might mark us, whether it's the world, whether it's the ups and downs of our lives, whether it may be the sorrows in households and the sorrows that come into local companies. Let us be overcomers, set for what is right. He's overcome the world. Let us not be ensnared by the world. You remember how it was those who were on the edge of the camp who came under the snare of the enemy. They got cut off, didn't they? Persons perished in the wilderness. O Lord, keep us close to thyself until thou just take us to be with thyself. That would be a prayer, wouldn't it, for each one of us? Be kept here faithful to him who was faithful amidst unfaithfulness, mid darkness only light. Did his Father's name confess, and in his will delight. Could we recruit everyone of 12 years and age and over, because I wouldn't put burdens upon young folk yet. I would like to feel that each one of us might be here as overcomers till the Lord takes us to be with himself for his name's sake.